This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, good morning. We've reached the end of the week. Thanks for joining us on Wake Up Call at SportsMap Radio. The Dolphins get their first win last night. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I feel like there should be a made-for-TV movie about Ryan Fitzpatrick's life or something. Doesn't it feel like Fitzpatrick does these kind of games every now and then, and it's like he's 37 and he continues to get jobs in this league and everybody wants to sign him eventually because one time or twice or maybe three times a season, he has a brilliant game and he just keeps on moving along. The dude went to Harvard for crying out loud and he's played for eight NFL teams, eight. And like I said, he's not a superstar. He's not a guy that is your franchise quarterback, but he has found this niche where he can play well enough to give you a win or two when you need it. He's the guy you bring on board when you have a young quarterback that's ready to take over the job. And he doesn't embarrass you. He doesn't have great games, but he doesn't kill your season completely and utterly demolish it. He belongs in the league. He has some good games. He'll make you look silly. He'll have games where he looks average. But he has this career arc that's rather interesting. Because, again, he's just been a journeyman. And last night looked fantastic. We'll go over that game, plus where the Lakers have the Nuggets next.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call SportsMap Radio. So Thursday night football didn't go as I thought. I thought Jacksonville, after 2 weeks, was going to be a difficult out. Now, listen, I know NFL teams can have bad nights. It was Jacksonville's bad night. I also know it doesn't matter who you are. You can be an outstanding 2-0 team or a terrible 2-0 team. The short weeks throw you off. I mean, it depends on how you prepare, what you go into it with. You coming off a Sunday game, you got a very short week to prepare. We've seen good teams be embarrassed. We've seen bad teams look good. But I thought Jacksonville would have been better prepared for a Miami team that wasn't all that, did not look all that good in the first couple weeks of the season. Ryan Fitzpatrick looked amazing. And I shouldn't be surprised. I've seen this before. I saw it in Tennessee when he played for the Titans. He's played for eight different teams. He's had brilliant moments in his career. And he's had moments in his career where he looks like a journeyman guy. We always talk about this with quarterbacks, right? There's only a few amount of people in the world that can do this job well, right? Well enough that you would say, here's the job. We trust you with it. Win us a few games. You know, you may not be a superstar, but you can play the position. He's one of them, right? He has found a way to stay in this league, and that is he's good at it, right? He's not great at it. He's not a Hall of Famer, but he's good at it. He's good enough that you can bring him on board. He's 37 years old. You can bridge a gap between where the franchise wants to go and a young talent. They did it with Jameis Winston in Tampa. Like, he filled in for Winston. Remember when Winston got in trouble with that Uber driver and they suspended him for a couple games? Fitzpatrick looked amazing with Tampa Bay in the first, 3 weeks of the season for the Buccaneers. And then, you know, he kind of regresses. That's what he does. That's why you define him as a journeyman. And that's why he's not a superstar. Because a journeyman means you do enough to stay in the league, but you don't do enough to be the man. You just bounce around a bit. And that's why the Dolphins kept him. He's only a couple of years younger than the head coach, for crying out loud. But he's beaten Jacksonville six times with six different teams. He's the only quarterback to beat a team six times with six different teams. That's a good stat, and it's also not a good stat. It's a good stat because it's interesting, right? It's one of those quirky stats you gather and you go, all right, he's got this many hits against this, these many pitchers and this many games and this many leagues. It's one of those Elias Bureau crazy statistics. But at the same time, he has a... this record is also not good because he hasn't been with anybody long enough to, you know, etch himself in the concrete history of the franchise. If you've beaten a team six times with six different teams, that's the latter part of that statement that makes you go, oh, okay, he's played for six different teams. In his case, eight. All right, so he's never been able to find a home, but he's been able to find a league, and that's really important. A lot of guys can't do either. A lot of guys get into the league, they're trumped up, they're highly touted, they last a few years, and we never hear from them again. Right? Let's never forget Johnny Manziel was a first-round draft pick. We can go through the list of a ton of them that just aren't in the league anymore. But he has found a place as a placeholder, or, and sometimes, a pleasant surprise. But how many of you were, like, blown away by his performance last night? I mean, it was great. It was a really great performance. But we've kind of seen it before. I mean, I remember the Buccaneers playing the Steelers. He threw for over 400 yards, had the Buccaneers coming back in a game they really didn't belong in, and scared me to death. And he's done that a few times, whether he's played for the Jets or the Titans or the Buccaneers or the Dolphins or the St. Louis Rams when he first got in the league. And he's been the Amish rifle. Has a place in the history of this league as one of the best journeyman quarterbacks ever. I think Steve DeBerg was another one. He used to bounce around, play for a whole bunch of different teams. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I think it's fascinating because the league always focuses on the superstar quarterbacks, and that's true. I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, name, you know, the list and list and list of guys that have had long careers with one or two teams and have cemented themselves as superstars. But the league also has a history of these kind of guys that have found something that works for them. And you don't really know what that is. Last night, he tore apart a Jaguars defense on a short week. Is that groundbreaking? No, but it was entertaining while he was doing it. So we head into week number three, and this is the thing, I know we kind of talk about this every fall, but I remember during quarantine, when we shut everything down, and I felt like the calendar was going like this. March 22nd, March 23rd, March 24th, March 19th, March 18th, March 3rd, March April 1st, March 15th. I mean, it just felt like time was going backwards. I felt like I would be in quarantine 3 weeks, and it felt like it lasted 6 months. There were moments where I would go, that was only 3 months, 3 weeks ago that we did that? It felt like 2 years. And then we get to this part of the season, and the calendar goes, September 20th, October 15th, November 1st. Hope you had a good Christmas. And in a blink of an eye, it's over. We're already into week three, heading into the National Football League. But we got some games, and we're going to analyze them coming up this hour as well. Last night in the NBA, the Lakers win again. They beat the Nuggets. They're up 3-1. Is this where the Nuggets want to be because they've come back 3-1 to both the Utah Jazz and the Clippers? Well, not really, because this is a different team that they're facing. Look, no one is analyzing the Lakers in the same way that the Utah Jazz and the Clippers were analyzed in their series with the Nuggets. The Utah Jazz were up 3-1, and it was the Donovan Mitchell versus Jamal Murray show, and it was two teams sort of evenly matched. And so when the Nuggets were coming back in the series and the pressure was on Utah, yes, it's always surprising when a team comes back from a 3-1 deficit, but it wasn't something completely out of nowhere. You could see it coming, right? Nuggets were a good basketball team, found something that was working, came back in a series, and just ticked off victories. And before you know it, it's a game seven, and they win that game, and they move on. When they did the exact same thing to the Clippers, what was the conversation coming out of that? The conversation wasn't so much the Nuggets, and although they got all the praise and credit in the world for doing that, but it was also on the dysfunctionality of the Clippers, right? Did they believe in the hype? Too much load management. Never really found some cohesive work when they got to the bubble. Never really looked the same team like they had before we went into shutdown. And that was the conversation that people were having. Look, the Clippers had played well in the first four games of the series, but there was always something wrong. It was always something that was ready to rear its ugly head. Maybe people thought it would happen in the series with the Lakers rather than the Nuggets. But again, people went there immediately when the Nuggets dispatched them in seven games. That's not this basketball team that they're playing. They're not playing a team that, one, they're equal to, or two, is dysfunctional enough that can thwart their own progression. The Lakers are a great basketball team, and they're led by a guy who's geared up for these moments. I mean, LeBron James, again, for all of the criticism that is thrown at him for what he's doing politically while he's in the bubble, and I know he's gotten a lot of the same, you know, those arrows have been flinging at him since the second he got there. The reality of it is he is a playoff winner. He knows how to get teams to the finals. He's been doing it for over a decade now. That's what he does. And when he switched on the defense to go up against Jamal Murray, who's having another great night for Denver, and he's had a great playoff and a great bubble, he was able to control Murray enough to help secure the victory. He wanted that assignment. He got that assignment, and that's what he does. That's what he does. As much as I would love to see the Nuggets, a team I covered for a number of years, get to the NBA Finals, I would be shocked if they pull off another one of these 3-1 comebacks against this basketball team. And a lot of it is Anthony Davis. A lot of it is Frank Vogel making these kind of adjustments. But a lot of it has to do with LeBron James. I praised Mike Malone, who did a good job making his own adjustments in the Game 3 victory, where he used PJ Dozier defensively. I mean, did a lot of different things. But it's a lot to ask to beat a Laker team that's this good, that doesn't have the same Clipper flaws. And I just think the Nuggets are going to be out of this thing pretty quickly. That's not to diminish their accomplishment, becoming the first NBA team to rally from a 3-1 deficit. But you can only go to the well that many times. Eventually, you are just going to break down against a better basketball team. And the Lakers are just a better basketball team. And you saw last night, the Nuggets can hang with you. They can hang with you to the end. But there's no way LeBron is blowing a 3-1 lead to get to the finals. I mean, when he gets to the finals, we'll see what happens. But getting to the finals has never been his problem. I mean, he's had the best team in Miami, had the better team in Cleveland. He has the best team now in their conferences. And last night was just a perfect example of that. It felt like LeBron just coming on when he made the move defensively, and I was like, oh boy, now this is what he's done. I've seen this so many times. So whereas you're going to hear people talk about today, do the Nuggets have the Lakers exactly where they want them given the two series that they had before? The answer is no, because in the end, you can't count on that kind of comeback. You don't want to come back from a 3-1 deficit, no matter how many times you've done it. It's hard, hard, hard to do. It's why the Nuggets are the only team in the NBA who've ever done it twice in the postseason. One, it doesn't happen often. Two, when it does, you don't have opportunities to do that. I mean, how many teams have found themselves down 3-1 in back-to-back series, winning maybe the first one and then finding themselves down 3-1 in the second series? Now they've found themselves down 3-1 in a third straight series. But don't fall for the trap. Past history doesn't equal future results. This is a different basketball team they're playing. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Coming up later this hour, we'll do what we normally do on Fridays. We'll go over the NFL schedule, tell you what you can watch, what you need to avoid, what you can count on, and what you can't as we go through the schedule. Also, the Major League Baseball season is starting to wrap up again. One team is now back into the postseason again. We'll tell you who coming up next. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. The Toronto Blue Jays are now in the postseason. Beating the Yankees last night has put them in the playoffs. Of course, Major League Baseball adding another team. So the Blue Jays have clinched one of the extra spots. I guess they could still technically take over the second spot in the AL East because the Yankees have clinched two. So it's the Rays, Yankees, and Blue Jays in the East. But the Yankees and the Blue Jays are separated by two games with three to play. So the Blue Jays could take over that spot, and the Yankees could be the one of the extra two teams that are in. Ah, it's all messy. I know. The Angels still are technically in it. They are three games behind the Astros with three to play. It's, you know, it's half dozen of the other. I like this idea of adding a baseball, you know, especially in a shortened season. I don't want them to do it permanently, though. I don't know. This doesn't feel like the same chase for these playoff spots. And it's confusing because I just got used to going to the wild card standings and figuring out who was going to get the other wild card spot when they expanded it the last time. And now I don't need to figure out how another two teams are going to be in the playoffs. But congratulations to the Blue Jays. And the reason I bring this up is simple. We've had a two-month sprint to this baseball season. And remember at the beginning of it, remember in July, what was the conversation about the Blue Jays? They didn't have a home. They couldn't play in Toronto. They weren't going to be allowed to play in Toronto. This country of Canada wasn't going to let teams fly in to play the Blue Jays. So they had to find a home. And they've kind of bounced around. They played in Buffalo. They were talking about playing in Pittsburgh at one point. Didn't do that. So they've kind of been this vagabond team of trying to figure out where they were going to end up at home, playing in a minor league ballpark. And three games over 500 at 30-27. And they, you know, so that means they haven't missed a game. And they've made them up with three games remaining of a 60-game schedule, and now they're heading into the playoffs, which, by the way, starts next week. Like, we don't have enough on our plate already. It's crazy. This is a real true testament to sports in and of itself. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he knows what I do for a living. He's not a big sports fan. And he was saying, he did that whole thing where he's like, yeah, I just don't think that people should be making millions of dollars to do a frivolous job. And I'm like, you know, most jobs are pretty frivolous. I mean, not every job that we do in this country is being an EMT or being a police officer or being a firefighter or, you know, doing, you know, being a doctor or a dentist or, you know, a lot of jobs in America are done because it's either entertainment or it's convenient or, you know, it's things we don't necessarily need, but it's just things we do. It's things we have. So I said to him, I said, you know, would you say that if somebody was, you know, made their living doing, you know, running a museum or running something like that? I mean, like, you feel like that's important, but in the end, society would go on without it. But whenever you go to a museum, you feel like it's something big. It's a big deal. It's important. It's capturing the art. It's capturing history. But in the end, if the museum went under or was destroyed, you know, life would continue. Most jobs are like that. You think there is a level of importance, but there isn't. And sports provides this huge level of entertainment. And now we're inundated with it. Like there's too much going on. Like last night, I'm watching the Jaguars Dolphins game. And look, I'm not a fan of either team, but it's Thursday night football, so it's kind of cool. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing well, and I'm kind of impressed with what he's doing. But I got the Nuggets and the Lakers going on in an important game that could either even up the Western Conference Finals or give LeBron James a commanding 3-1 lead. Not to mention, we're heading down into the final weekend of Major League Baseball, and there is a race towards the playoffs. This weekend, you've got the SEC launching its season. And so you've added that to the slate of football that's going on, and you've also continued with the NHL play, the Stanley Cup Finals, the Western and Eastern Conference, and the NBA, baseball gearing up to its postseason next week. It's a lot on the plate. There's a lot on the plate. And it's fantastic in a way, but at the same time, when you're kind of used to it all paced out, it does feel like a buffet where you just don't have enough time to eat everything that's on the menu. Like, you ever go to a buffet and you're like, man, they got roast beef and they got prime rib and they got this chicken dish. I can't eat everything.
Yeah,
so I have to pick and choose.
It's a little too much,
right?
Going on
right
now.
But let's say you were at the buffet for 9 hours. You had no other place to go, and you just sat there and you brought a book. Eventually, you could get to all the dishes, right?
As long as you're wearing your stretchy pants.
Right. Eventually, you could eat the chicken dish as well as the prime rib at some point on the day. That's the sports calendar. The NHL Stanley Cup Finals should be in June when nothing else is going on. Like maybe NBA playoffs. That's it.
Yeah.
And baseball is in its summer days.
Don't you just feel bad? I kind of feel bad for hockey right now.
I completely feel bad for hockey.
I couldn't tell you right now what the series, who's up. I know the Lightning are up, but I can't tell you how many games they're up.
Two
right
games
now.
To one.
Is it two?
Ron
Thank you.
2-1. Well, the other day there was a report.
That's to drive your point home, though. It's like hockey. All of a sudden, it was front and center, and then just took a complete backseat.
The other day, somebody pointed out that the U.S. Open, Bryson DeChambeau won the U.S. Open, had the lowest ratings ever since the U.S. Open's been televised. Yeah, no kidding. The U.S. Open is played in June. What are you talking about? It's a June event in the summertime with barely anything going on. Yeah. I mean, again, not to put down the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, those are big deals, but you can manipulate your calendar to watch some U.S. Open and then some NBA basketball. By that time, you're reaching the finals or close to the finals. Most of the games aren't at night. You can watch day golf, but you're not going up against every single NFL game on the calendar on a Sunday. Of course it got the lowest ratings in the event's history.
We have priorities.
Right, exactly.
And football is always going to be number one.
Basketball didn't schedule a playoff game on Monday night for Monday Night Football.
They know
what they're doing.
Why did they do that?
Exactly. They know what they're doing. Baseball does the same thing, right? With the World Series, they go, well, we'll make sure the travel day is a Monday. They know what's going on. Although they didn't one year when I was in Denver, they had game five of the World Series between the Rockies and the Red Sox was scheduled on a Monday night, on the same Monday night that Denver was playing the Green Bay Packers, I think. And I remember I had to choose because I was working freelance to cover. I was not only covering the Broncos for my station, but I also did some freelance work for the Broncos, covering the Broncos. But I also, the World Series, I was also pegged to go to every World Series game. So I needed to make sure. So I was sitting in game four going, well, I kind of obviously want the Rockies to win because I want this dilemma in my career. But man, that would be, that'd be really tough. Like, well, I got to find people to fill in for my work and all that other stuff. Well, that didn't matter. The Red Sox swept them, and that was it. But we didn't have that magical night in Denver where we had a World Series and a Monday Night Football at the same night. But, I mean, it goes back to the point. I mean, again, we've gotten so much on the plate right now that it's pretty fantastic. But at the same time, things are going to get missed, right? You're right. I mean, in June, a lot of us would have a hockey game on, even if it's the Stanley Cup Finals. It's one of the best trophies in all of sports. But you could miss it this year because there's just too much on the plate. I mean, there's just too many things going on right now.
I'll read it in the cliff notes of the newspaper.
Yeah,
I mean, that's exactly where we are right now. I feel, like I said, I know it's Lightning against Stars, but other than that, and now I know it's 2-1.
Yep. I'm glad I could fill you in on that.
Thank you.
You bet.
What's the next game?
Coming up, we will do the looking ahead at the NFL Week 3 calendar. Next hour, Good, Bad, and the Dumb. We'll also talk some NBA with our favorite Aussie. That's all coming up as we continue on Sports Map Radio. It's Wake Up Call.
Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, not all face masks offer the same protection. Boomer Naturals, 3-layer comfortable breathable masks. Use them, they're great, fantastic. And they are also got the nano silver technology woven into the fabric and can block tiny drops and particles from entering your nose and mouth. You want that good protection, but you also want a mask that's comfortable. And Boomer Naturals are very comfortable. So not all masks offer the same protection, and they all don't feel the same. So get one that's comfortable and gives you the nano silver protection that Boomer Naturals does. They're also available at your local CVS pharmacy. You can ask for the Boomer Naturals nano silver mask and gaiters. Boomer Naturals, your source for comfortable, breathable, nano silver enhanced protective face masks. Available now at your local CVS pharmacy. Boomer Naturals has you covered. All right, are you ready, Ron Culver, to go through week three of the National Football League? Coming off the Dolphins' big victory last night against Jacksonville, picking up their first win of the season.
Go ahead. Talk about the Dolphins real quick.
Yes.
All right, before we get started, I picked up Miles Gaskin, the running back for the Dolphins.
Right.
Right? I got a pet peeve with the Dolphins. Now, Miles Gaskin, he got me some decent points. I got like 14 points.
I was going to say he had a good night, didn't he?
He had a good night. They kept running him up the middle. They never ran him outside. They just kept throwing him right up the gut. I'm like, you know, all the running plays were right up the middle. It's like starting to get predictable, guys. But the other problem that I had was that Miles Gaskin was your workhorse all night long until you got to the 1 yard line.
Oh yeah, and then you didn't want to use him.
And then you didn't want to use him. Then you wanted to throw in Jordan Howard. You know,
yeah.
you're costing Miami. You're costing me some valuable fantasy points.
You need.
And I'm 0-2. Come on.
The Steelers were like Jerome Bettis sometimes would have rushing like stats would be like 6 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Right? Like you'd go, oh, because he was the guy at the goal line.
But I'll give Bettis a pass because he's a Hall of Famer. Jordan Howard's not a Hall of Famer.
But, I'm saying, you know, it's a similar situation. Yeah, it's you know, you make him work, and then when you get to the goal line, you go with somebody else. He gets the touchdown. Miles Gaskin helped get you down there in the first place.
But what did we learn from last night? Beards are better than mustaches.
Beards are better than mustaches.
Beards won.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, man.
All right, let's
I'm telling
it.
You. All right, let's go. Let's start at Atlanta with Mercedes-Benz Stadium where the Falcons got to get a win. Got to get a win.
Oh, man.
Got to get a win. And they're going up against a Bears team that's got to get a loss because they can't possibly start 3-0, can they? Stop this nonsense.
If there was a team they could stop, they could start 3-0, it would probably be the Falcons. I saw a great meme the other day. It was the Nike logo. It said Falcons above it, and it said just blew it.
Just blew it, exactly. You've got to erase the stink of last week's game against the Cowboys.
Well, it's becoming their stigma.
That's a no. You
That's
can't
terrible.
Have that.
You can't have that.
No, you cannot. You don't need a 30-for-30 done 5-10 years from now about how you couldn't win games when you had leads.
Yep.
And the Bears, if they went 3-0, they could legitimately walk around going, man, we don't even know we were supposed to be here among the elite of the NFL. Come on now.
And they could be the reason why Dan Quinn gets fired.
Yeah. It's a good matchup to just see what Atlanta could do in a game like this and also just to see if the Bears and Mitch Trubisky could go 3-0 to start the season. All right, how about Buffalo and the Rams? This is 2-0 versus 2-0.
Yep.
This is good.
This is good. Well, we finally can see if Buffalo shows up.
That's right. Buffalo playing now they're really playing a team here. The Bills, Josh Allen coming off a 4-touchdown game against the Dolphins last week. They're off to a 2-0 start. The Rams also 2-0 coming off their victory against the Eagles. Good game. Real good. Four-star game for this one at Orchard Park.
Yeah, we get to see if the Bills are actually contenders. We already know the Rams. We already know who they are.
The Washington football team against the Cleveland Browns. Ah, yeah, yeah.
You know what? I'm just going to do it. Redskins.
Yeah.
The only meaningful thing out of this is, you know, so we can put some dollars in the R jar.
Yeah, that's right. Put some dollars in the R jar is right. Yeah, the Browns, I mean, look, they come off a win against the Bengals on that Thursday night. They've had a long time to prepare for the Washington football team.
But it's the Bengals.
But it's, you know, but they beat the Bengals. And it wasn't like they blew them out or anything. Washington also 1-1 on the season. How about Tennessee and Minnesota? Are we ready to write off the Vikings yet? There's a lot of problems there.
There's this girl. I don't know her name. She's the one who does, you know, she did like the Big Ten conference Zoom call.
Yeah, she's very funny. Very
funny.
She's
been doing like NFL weeks by weeks. And she did one for week two. And she was going through all the teams. And when she came to the Vikings, I thought this was so poignant. When she came to the Vikings, they were putting on a Clemson jersey.
Ah, good for them.
And then the NFL got mad at them. Like, what, Vikings, what are you doing? Oh, and they were like, oh, sorry, was this on camera? And then they were slowly taking the Clemson jersey off. I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but this team is supposed to be, this team's a lot better on paper.
Yeah, I know it is. I know it is. And it's a little, you wonder when the team goes, okay, we've put it together. I don't know if they ever put it together or they could against Tennessee. The Titans, I'm going to remind you again. I said this on Monday. don't think Tennessee is this team that just hands the ball off to Derrick Henry and then runs and runs and runs. Ryan Tannehill can throw, and Ryan Tannehill can make plays. And this team is looking better and better to me the more I see them every week in the first 2 weeks of this season. I like the Titans, but I'm waiting for the giant that should have been in Minnesota this year to rise up.
To wake up, yeah.
To wake up is right. New England against the 2-0 Las Vegas Raiders. John Gruden and Derek Carr go to Foxborough to take on Cam Newton and the Patriots.
This is actually, I mean, at the beginning of the season, I would have penciled this in as a must-watch, but I think this is a must-watch.
Yeah, this is a good one. Come on now. This is a good one, yeah. Look, I'm liking what Cam Newton does. I'm finding his rebirth in New England really enjoyable over the first 2 weeks. I know they didn't get the victory in Seattle, but he certainly made it dramatic by going, you know, running, trying to run it in from 1 yard out, getting stopped. But I enjoy watching the dynamic that he's able to bring to this Patriots offense. Maybe he's going to throw more. Maybe he's going to throw in the pocket more. Make your argument. That's fine. And let's get with the Las Vegas Raiders for a second, because that win against the Saints was great. The win on the road against a Panthers team that had, you know, kind of a reset of their franchise was pretty good as well. They're putting up points. This is a good game. You're right. This is one of the premier early afternoon games, especially for CBS. Giants, no Saquon Barkley, no audience for me going up against San Francisco. No Nick Bosa, no Jimmy Garoppolo. What, by the way, are they having like some sort of lottery in San Francisco where you might be able to play a down for the 49ers?
Well, I think Keanu Reeves is getting some part of the gang back together.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say, yeah, let's go out and get some guys.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, God, let's just check it out really quick here on the D4, George Kittle, Jimmy Garoppolo, Raheem Mostert, Dre Greenlaw, all listed as injured, and Saquon Barkley out for the year for the Giants. Yeah, I'm not interested in a Giants team that just has Daniel Jones. I'm sorry.
No,
if
I don't.
You gave me Barkley, maybe I'd find this curious.
I guess the only curious or the only must-watch thing about this is, will there be more carnage for the Niners because MetLife Field is terrible?
That's right.
And if there's more carnage for the Niners, does the NFL shut MetLife down?
Right, they close it up. That was not a multi-billion dollar stadium, but that cost a pretty penny.
Yes.
You can't build anything in the New York, New Jersey area without costing a pretty penny anyway, but it certainly was a fortune. Cincinnati and Philadelphia. Look, here's a compare and contrast between two quarterbacks here. Both teams are 0-2. Joe Burrow has 3 touchdown passes on the year. He's only thrown 1 interception. Carson Wentz has 4 turnovers already this year. The Eagles are not this bad, are they? There's problems. Every team's got some. But they're not this bad, right? Don't let the division get away from you. No one is winning the NFC East with a 13-3 mark or a 12-4 mark. You're 0-2, but you're right back in this picture. Just knock the Bengals off. That's all you got to do, Philadelphia. And you're right back in the conversation.
I mean, if they lose,
yeah,
this puts Peterson on the hot seat.
Absolutely.
Immediately. Philadelphia. Because Philadelphia, they don't waste time.
No.
The fans, not anyways. At all. I mean, management might, but the fans don't waste any time at all.
Yeah, the Super Bowl honeymoon period is long over.
Yeah, they'll be calling for his head.
Some games. Here's another good game for the afternoon. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Houston Texans? Houston at 0-2, Steelers at 2-0. Oh, if you're kind of sick of the Watts, then stay away from this game, because this game is all going to be about the family reunion of the Watt brothers and this game at Heinz Field.
Now, but, are they allowing fans in the stands?
No.
I think they need to allow 2.
Yeah. Yeah, mom and dad?
Mom and dad.
Yeah. Do they wear those split jerseys that you see parents wear?
Well, they got 3 of them, so they got to, maybe it's
well, they gotta
a
do
tricolor.
Some 3 tricolor thing. That's true. You know what's funny is, you know, you got to give families credit like this. When you put 1 kid in the NFL, but 3 is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, that's why we're saying let them in.
Yeah. That's,
you know,
true.
If you have to test them, you know, let go through all the rigorous things that you have to go through, but let them have a spot in the stands, because this could be a once in a lifetime thing until J.J. Watt joins the team next year.
That's right. That's right. They say the Mannings could have done it. They say Cooper Manning could have made it to the NFL if he didn't have that back issue. Remember he had that
Yeah.
That problem, the health problem.
And he's the oldest one, right? Young.
He was the oldest one, yeah. They say he could have made it. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, maybe it's just a little flattering of the Mannings, but the Watt family has done it. All right, we'll get to the after. Well, we'll get to a couple of afternoon games coming up next as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Freol deep penetrating oil spreads deep into the rusted or frozen parts that freeze them up in seconds. You'll find them on shelves and auto parts, industrial plant floors everywhere. Penetrates rust, scale, corrosion to free parts and assemblies instantly. Contains no silicones, making it safe in paint and body shop environments. Loosens red and white lead, tar, grease, carbon, graphite deposits. Freol deep penetrating oil. Threaded fasteners, rusted machine screws, bolts, nuts, clamps for mufflers, all of it by Freol deep penetrating oil. All right, let's continue with our NFL schedule as we get ready for week three coming up on Sunday. The afternoon games, the late afternoon games, depending on where you live. Indianapolis taking on the terrible New York Jets. The one thing you can look at this game is which Colt will be lost for the season at the end of the game. They've already lost Malik Hooker. They've already lost Marlon Mack.
That's Paris, morbid.
Oh, is it Paris Campbell was put on the injured reserve? Which Colt will be gone for the year when they play the Jets at Lucas Oil Stadium on Sunday? That's all you got for this one. Jets stink. They're averaging 15 points per game. The Chargers and Justin Herbert taking on Carolina and Teddy Bridgewater. Come on, Chargers, show up. Let the rookie quarterback shine at SoFi Stadium.
Hey, this is why they gave Tyra Taylor the shot.
That's right. Punctured his lung. Whoops, did we do that? Sorry.
My bad,
but I guess you won't be playing this year. We'll shall see.
Yeah. Well,
by the way, you did some research yesterday. How long does it take to heal a punctured lung?
It all depends on how horrible it is, how severe it is. But
so I guess a little prick from a needle.
Yeah, it could be a 3 to 4 week thing or even a 6 to 8 week thing.
Got it.
All so, right. I mean, the season.
There you go. Right.
Because if he's out for 6 to 8 weeks, then he's got to come back and get back to football shape. Because he technically can't run or do anything like that because he's leaking air out of his lung.
So when the doctor is telling Tyrod Taylor it's 3 to 4 weeks, there's an official from the Chargers going up, 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 up. And he goes, 3 to 5 weeks. Oh, no, 7 to 9? No, 10 to 12. It looks like 13 to 15. I'm sorry. Yeah. I made a mistake.
We're going to go 6 to 8 weeks, and then you have rehab.
Right, exactly.
Because
exactly.
The dangerous thing is for an athlete or anybody is that if you're leaking air in your lung, you're more susceptible to a collapsed lung.
And got it.
I think that would be horrible.
All right, the Denver Broncos taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. He's not great in Denver, but then he also was playing Peyton Manning at the time. He's got a few wins there, but I can remember when he would come into town and the Broncos would beat him without Peyton Manning. The Broncos, I guess just Jeff Driscoll is starting and Blake Bortles will be the backup. That's what I'm assuming. They're without Drew Locke and Cortland Sutton won't be able to play either. That's not bad. Any game with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, you should watch. You should watch it. It doesn't matter.
Will he start using Gronk?
Like my new second favorite team, the Arizona Cardinals, are taking on Detroit. They could go 3-0 to start the season, Cardinals.
They better. If they don't, better. This is horrible.
The imaginary fans at Glendale should be rocking out Cards gear for this football team. They're fun.
Sea of red.
Could be 3-0 to lead a very impossibly tough division. The latter game of the afternoon on Fox, it's at CenturyLink Field, Seattle and Dallas. Russell Wilson has 9 touchdowns already this year. Threw 5 against the Patriots, that helps. But
this is a must-watch.
It's a must-watch. Because you want to know what currency the Cowboys have after that come-from-behind victory, right? Was that just taking advantage? Remember we said it's like a NASCAR driver just lucking into a win when the leaders crash and sometimes rain comes and you end up on the, your head of the field? Getting that onside kick was as fluky can get. And now you go play a Seahawks team that's really good, really hard, and Russell Wilson's playing at an MVP level already 2 weeks into the season. Now the nightcap, the NBC Sunday night game of the week, the New Orleans Saints hosting the Green Bay Packers. Drew Brees is okay, right? He's a decent quarterback, right? Well, I say that facetiously, but in reality, he's not the same deep ball threat, especially without Michael Thomas. But Aaron Rodgers is playing pretty good. This is still a good matchup of good quarterbacks. Yes, age is creeping into Drew Brees. But at the same time, this is still a good fun matchup. Must watch Sunday night. They know what they're doing on the Sunday night schedule. Green Bay and New Orleans. And then Monday night, if you don't watch this game, I don't know what to do with you. Like, if you don't watch, find a way to get in front of your television to watch Kansas City, Baltimore, then what are we doing here? This is Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
This should have been the AFC title game if the Tennessee Titans didn't get in the way last year and made a mess of things.
I cannot believe this is a Monday night game.
Does this remind you of the same feeling we had about the Chiefs and Rams a few years ago? Remember that
yes.
one?
Yes.
Remember that?
The
it was
that
like
was supposed to be down
so
in Mexico?
Hyped up. Remember that? This is the same feeling. It's already exciting. It's Friday, and we're already looking forward to Monday. Wake up call, Sports Map Radio. Glad you'll be with us.